Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 122 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, how have you been this past week?
I've been wonderful. I've been a little chilly here in Orlando. We're getting down into the 60s, you know, even 50s at night. That's cold for us.
Yeah.
somehow managing to survive, though. It's actually a really big week for the arts here in Orlando, because they finally, after decades and decades, they have completed the construction of the Steinmetz Hall at the Dr. Phillips Center downtown. It's, you know, it's supposedly one of the two or three best acoustic halls in the entire world right now. It's got an N1 acoustic rating, and they've got all sorts of people from all over the world coming in to perform. We saw a big show of local talent last night, and we're going back. We're going to see the Royal Philharmonic, the Royal Ballet. Jennifer Hudson's coming to town. So we got a whole bunch of concerts lined up. It's pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
How's your week been?
Well, my week should have been more exciting. I was supposed to see Hadestown on the 12th.
I know.
And it got moved. But other than that, I've been marathoning the Scream movies, because a certain multi-decade sequel just came out. Not sure when I'm going to get to go to the movies again, because, like I've said before, COVID is kind of weird and not great here.
It's a shame, because that's a movie you'd kind of want to see, you know, a late night show with a packed theater of people screaming.
Yes. You know, one of my
talking to the screen.
One of my friends in town actually went to Alamo Drafthouse for their opening night showing on Thursday, and they gave out masks and like the little glow in the dark knives, like from Scream 2, where they're like, the studio sent them.
From Stab.
Yes. And it looked like a lot of fun. But the movies are, I've only ever seen the first one. So this is,
oh,
like,
wow.
Okay.
Well,
journey.
I mean, by the first one was by far the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've all got their charms. The cast is always great, but there was kind of diminishing returns. Four was better than I expected.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. A friend of mine who is a big fan gave it a very, very positive review. So I was a little apprehensive, but now I'm excited. It's on my list.
And then some other big stuff happened this week that was not related to me, but I can't talk about it. So just pretend.
Shh.
It's very big secret, but it was very exciting. So that consumed most of my week. But without any further ado, let's get into the news. First up, a new hotel is opening at Disney Springs with its full completion coming in 2023, but it's already accepting reservations for this October.
Yeah, this is technically, it's not a Disney owned and operated hotel, but it is an official Disney hotel, because it's in the Lake Buena Vista Resort area along Hotel Plaza. And you know, the benefits have changed over the years from time to time, but I believe right now they pretty much get a lot of the same benefits as full Disney hotels, such as early admission to the parks.
So this is called the Drury Plaza Hotel Orlando Lake Buena Vista. It is a mouthful. Mm-hmm. It's on Hotel Plaza Boulevard, and it will be the second Drury property in the Orlando area.
Yeah, they've got a Drury Inn over by Universal, and it's a really good value. It's very reasonably priced, and they have some nice extras, such as a free breakfast, and I think they also do like an afternoon kickback happy hour with free drinks. So you get a lot for your money at these properties.
Yeah. So this one is currently under construction, but the first 264 rooms are expected to open sometime in the fall, and reservations are already being accepted for stays starting October 27th. But the rest of the rooms will open by spring of next year.
Yeah, in case you remember, this used to be the Best Western on Lake Buena Vista, and it was medium-sized hotel, 325 rooms, but they are adding this 14-story tower. So by the time it's done, it'll be pretty sizable.
And of course, it's got amenities like resort-style pool, whirlpool, kids' splash zone with water cannons, lounge chairs, a deck, a 20,000-square-foot pool deck. And you can get views of Black Lake, as well as poolside dining at the Lakeside Bar and Grill, with other dining options like the Kitchen and Bar Fast Casual restaurant and the 5:30 Kickback reception area.
And of course, since this hotel is in the Hotel Plaza area, it's real convenient to Disney Springs if you're hanging out there.
I'm not sure anything about transportation, like complimentary shuttles, because some of the Disney Springs hotels do offer that.
Yes, I believe most of them do. So
so that is something you might be able to anticipate with this one. Next up, if you are looking to get pampered at the Grand Floridian, you're in luck, because the Grand Floridian Spa will be opening on January 26th.
The Grand Floridian has had a spa that, like many things, shut down for COVID. But they used this opportunity to give it an overhaul. It's got a Victorian theme, like the rest of the hotel. So I guess if Mary Poppins was going to get a massage, this is where she would go.
You'll be able to get all sorts of treatments and massages here. They also have couples massages and facials, and then they have a full salon. So if you are in need of a haircut or some styling or a manicure and pedicure.
Are you a fan of going to a spa when you're on vacation?
Truthfully, I've only been to a spa once, and that was when I went to Vegas a couple of years ago. And I got a facial, and it was awesome. So I'm a fan. I would do it.
I've done it a few times. I'm not a huge fan of getting a massage, but I love like the spa lounges, the hot tubs and the rainforest rooms like they have on the Disney cruise ships. Big fan of just relaxing in steam.
Yeah, I've never gotten a massage, but I feel like I sit at a computer all day, so I could probably use it.
Yeah, you could use it. Maybe we'll both get our nails done.
Yes.
I could use a manicure.
Look at those chairs. We could sit right there, have like a cocktail or something.
Yeah.
Super fancy. You can make advance reservations, which are highly recommended now for your experience, starting the day it reopens on the 26th.
Yep. So January 26th, 2022 is the reopening date.
So if you are in need of some relaxation, some pampering, check it out. If you are looking to become an annual pass holder this year at Universal Studios Hollywood, we've got a deal for you. Not our deal, but their deal. We're just telling you about it. You can save up to $50 online if you purchase an annual pass there.
And I feel this is very much aimed at the Southern California market, where if you're used to getting a Disneyland annual pass and either you chose not to because of all of the restrictions now, or you just couldn't get one because they stopped selling them, Universal will be happy to have you. You'll also get a variety of incentives. You get discounts on general admission if you want to buy tickets for your friends and family. Also, Halloween Horror Night ticket discounts. There's also going to be a sweepstakes with some prizes and discounts at CityWalk.
Blockout dates do apply depending on the pass that you pick, so be sure to check on that. And they're also doing reservations still, and I believe they still do check for your vaccine card or negative PCR test depending on the day. So definitely plan ahead if you are going to visit Universal Hollywood. But this is a great deal if you're looking to get an annual pass to a park and you can't get a Disney one. For Florida residents, though, we have a brand new weekday ticket that's being offered for a limited time. Florida residents can purchase the Disney Weekday Magic Ticket as a 2, 3, or 4 day ticket with prices starting at $149 plus tax, valid on the weekdays, as it says in the title.
Yep.
Though it does have some blockout dates, March 14th through the 18th. And
yeah, that's March 14th through the 18th is just about the peak of spring break. So if you're a resident, you probably didn't want to be going anyway that week.
That's my birthday week.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not fair. And these tickets are valid through April the 7th. So you can get in some springtime visits at some nicer prices.
Yeah, kind of like Disneyland, Walt Disney World has also restricted the sales of annual passes. There's Florida residents still have a tier of annual passes they can buy into. But, depending on what days of the week you're available, this might be a better bargain. Starting at just $75 per day, that's a steep discount over the regular gate price.
Yeah. All adults looking to purchase in on this ticket offer will have to show proof of residency, which is usually like a utility bill or a piece
or
of
driver's
mail.
License.
Yeah. And you'll also have to have a park pass reservation and a theme park ticket for the same park on the same day for every member of your party when you're planning on going. And of course, those reservations are limited, subject to availability, yada, yada, yada. But what I found super interesting was if you purchase one of these tickets and you don't use all of them, like if you get a 4 day, but you only went 3 days, and the tickets expired, the price paid for that entirely unused ticket can be applied to the purchase of a new ticket with an equal or higher price.
That, before our listeners go and bank on that, I'd want to review the fine print on that, because usually when they say wholly unused, that means you didn't use any of the days whatsoever. And that is typical for Disney tickets, that if you have a ticket that you purchase and you never activate it at the gate, while even after that expires, it still retains its original value to apply to a new, equal, or more expensive ticket. But once it's been activated at the gate, I don't believe there's any residual value after expiration.
Okay.
So your fine print before you try to use any loopholes.
See, that would have been me, because I was like, oh, that's kind of nice if you don't get to use all 4 of your days or whatever.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that would be a scam. You just use 3 days and then trade it in.
Yeah.
And get
I'm not a scammer. I'm not a scammer.
Always read the fine print, folks. Consult a lawyer, not a doctor.
This one was on my mind. I recently watched a TDR Explorer video where he went and visited Universal Studios Japan, was talking about how this ride was closed.
Yep.
And then the very next day, our contributor Theron wrote an article about how it reopened today, the 15th.
We're talking about Yoshi's Adventure, which is the family-friendly outdoor, sort of an outdoor dark ride. Which is the secondary attraction at Super Nintendo World in Japan. Everyone goes there for the Mario Kart ride, but this is the family-friendly ride with Yoshi going around an elevated track. This ride almost seemed to be cursed. The whole land opened, right in the middle of a pandemic. Park opened up, shut down again. But this ride in particular, they've had a number of issues. One of the large set pieces apparently toppled over onto the ride track not long after it opened. And then more recently, there was I believe it was traced to an electrical fire. There was a little conflagration, some flames and smoke. But everything is back on track, pun intended. And as of January 15th, which is when we're recording this, you can once again take a ride around with Yoshi looking for those golden eggs.
I love Yoshi as like a Nintendo IP. Mm-hmm. Even more so than Yoshi's, what is the 64 game? The Yoshi game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yoshi's Island?
Yoshi's Island. Because I played the DS remake of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a 64, but the song was stuck in your brain forever. And that's the song that plays on this ride. And I just find it really charming and cute.
Awesome. Well, one of these days we'll make it out there and
one day
review it in person.
If you are already excited for Festival of the Arts and after the events of yesterday and
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Disney is already looking ahead to the Garden Rocks concert series and the Flower and Garden Festival, and they've released the lineup for said concert series.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid lineup. I'm old enough to remember when Garden Rocks was called the Flower Power concert series.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was all people from, like, the Woodstock era. And, you know, a lot of those folks have moved on or no longer touring. But I am happy to see that there are some classic acts in there. We've got Don Felder from the Eagles. A new group to Garden Rocks is Kool and the Gang. You can never go wrong with them. Mm-hmm. We've got the lead singer from Boston. So, you know, there's some stuff from my vinyl collection in there that I'm kind of excited about.
I like the orchestra featuring former members of ELA.
Yellow. Yep.
Yellow. I love Yellow. You've also got some Christian rock music with Toby Mac, I think. Is that a Christian rock band?
Yes. I believe he also performs at Rock the Universe.
You've also got Flock of Seagulls, which I only know for the
haircut. Hair.
And then, of course, staples like Simple Plan and Plain White Tees closing out the festival.
Don't forget, it cannot be an Epcot festival without Starship featuring Mickey Thomas.
No.
Saying we built this city.
You can start booking your Garden Rocks concert series dining packages on January 19th if any of these bands entice you enough to want to book a reservation to get the best seats or a seat, I guess.
Yeah.
A guaranteed seat. They did say that they would update this list with additional performers because some of the dates kind of end rather abruptly.
Yeah. There's a few gaps in there that'll probably be filled in as we get closer to the event.
So keep checking back on this article in particular, and we will update it as we see new artists get added. SeaWorld San Antonio is celebrating Mardi Gras starting today, January 15th.
That's they're getting an early jump on the event.
Yeah, they are.
A lot of the kind of elements that you we've come to expect from a SeaWorld theme park Mardi Gras event are going to be there. Live music, costumes, of course, lots of Cajun and Creole food for sale, and drink specials. Of course, since it's SeaWorld, you've also got rides and animals and roller coasters getting in on the mix.
This event runs through February 27th. And I mean, just look at the food. I think the one thing that I love most about Mardi Gras and these events at the parks is the food. I love Cajun food.
Yep. Beignets, jambalaya, po' boys, all the standards. The big new addition this year for San Antonio is they've got a Sesame Street Mardi Gras parade.
Yes.
So your favorite Sesame Street characters dressing up Big Easy style, that should be really fun to see.
It sounds very adorable. They were also going to have entertainment like jugglers and acrobats, live Zydeco music, pins, like this really cool mask pin set, among some of the merchandise available at Jester's Closet in the park. And of course, it's not Mardi Gras without alcohol.
Yay.
Yep. You'll be able to
get your hurricane on.
Oh yeah. Frozen daiquiris and the signature carnival cocktail, all served in souvenir cups. So you can take a little sous-vide home with you if you can make it home and make it to your car.
Don't drive.
Please. Please have a designated driver. And then over at Legoland Florida Resort, they are gearing up for the return of Pirate Fest weekends happening later this month on the 22nd.
Yeah, they've been doing this for a few years, and basically everything pirate. The featured event is the Captain Brickbeard's water stunt show, which runs year round, but gets great crowds during the pirate event. There's also some additional pirate meet and greets, pirate live shows, pirate Lego building, and of course some pirate food.
And it's all included with admission. Yep. So you don't have to pay anything extra. And of course, the return of the Brickbeard's water sports stunt show, mm-hmm. not to be missed.
They've got an original stage show this time called Treasure Behold. They've also got an interactive show for little kids called Academy of Arg, where I guess kids can volunteer to join a pirate band. You know, the one thing that is not going to be quite ready yet is the new pirate boat ride, which we've talked about before. That is still under construction. But maybe if you walk around the Cypress Gardens area, you'll get a little preview of what they're working on there.
Yes. And then family activities will include a sea creature competition, Lego build, and a deep sea scavenger hunt. And there might even be some treasure involved if you collect all the stamps in your pirate guide by experiencing everything at the event. A little birdie told me. So head over there and check it out. Sounds like a lot of fun. All right. The Figment popcorn bucket in the room. The Festival of the Arts began this weekend, and a lot has happened.
Oh, boy. Do we have any reports, any helicopters hovering to see what the Figment popcorn bucket line looks like today? Because yesterday, I think they were trying to compete with the opening of Wizarding World of Harry Potter for, how far a line could wrap around a theme park.
I saw someone did like a sped up time lapse video walking the line. And it made it out of like the Diz Twitter and went into the film Twitter section of the people I follow.
If in case you are blissfully ignorant, the Epcot International Festival of the Arts opened up yesterday on the 14th. As always, there's new food selections. There is concerts going on with Broadway performers, but no one cares about any of that. The only thing anyone cares about is that there is a really adorable but slightly off-model Figment bucket. His proportions are just strange. It's like Figment with a pituitary issue, but that's okay because he's still cute. I believe the popcorn bucket came filled with multicolored popcorn. That's what I've seen in the pictures. I wouldn't know. I don't think anyone actually got him for the popcorn because there was a 7-hour long line of people wrapped all around Epcot just waiting to get their hands on these buckets. And, this is not because there are so many people who want to have a Figment bucket in their house. It's because they were going straight on eBay for hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
This is even after Disney declared that it was a limit of 2 per person. Yet I still saw plenty of pictures with people carrying huge bags.
Bags.
So, I don't know how they enforce these rules, but something's got to be done. Like, it's not a good look. It's just not a good look.
I mean, do we even know if there are any left to sell today? Or
pretty much unless you were there. I mean, I saw people pictures of the line during early entry, that first few minutes that the park was open, and it was already hours long. So pretty much, I think, unless you were dedicating your life yesterday to getting one of these, I don't know any reports right now if they're still available, but it was not a pretty picture. It was not pretty.
No, but you know what is pretty? The food.
The food is gorgeous. The food is always gorgeous. I feel like Festival of the Arts is the shortest Epcot festival each year, but I think it's my favorite If nothing else, because the plating of all the food is so elaborate. They've backed off some of them over the years. Like they used to have a charcuterie plate that had like 23 steps to assemble. And it was just ridiculous in a theme park quick service setting. Just you couldn't keep up with demand. But, even if some things have been scaled back a little, everything is just gorgeous and colorful sometimes looks even better than it tastes, but
yeah,
usually tastes pretty good too.
I would have to agree. I think out of all of them, I mean, everyone loves Food and Wine, but I think there's just something about Festival of the Arts that I like a lot. Yeah.
And if you like, your theme parks without sweating and humidity, this is the perfect time to visit Epcot because you can bundle up in a sweater and it's pretty nice.
Well, there you go. This happened just last night. Did you see this?
I didn't see it in person, but I watched the video that we posted, and darn it, it made me teary.
Oh, I just know I would be a wreck. So last night, to celebrate Festival of the Arts returning to Epcot, they unveiled a brand new Epcot Spaceship Earth light show set to the Muppets Rainbow Connection, and not a dry eye was left in the park.
Oh no, it's just I'm just getting a little verklempt just thinking about it, just a little choked up.
I would just, oh my god, I would be crying everywhere. It turned the Spaceship Earth rainbow. It was very sweet. I have not watched the video yet per se, but I've seen clips on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But this was announced by Walt Disney Imagineer Zach Ridley on Instagram just hours before it actually happened. But man, what a cute, nice thing. We always say we want more Muppets in the parks, and it feels like they're trying.
You know, it gives me hope to know that someone in Imagineering likes the Muppets enough to dedicate some project hours to getting this programmed.
Yes.
You know, there has to be a cost associated to it. So anytime that they are spending money on the Muppets, that makes me happy.
Muppet money.
Yeah. I really think there's, there seems to be someone on the inside is pushing for the Muppets to have more visibility, especially as related to the parks. And I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean,
more Muppets is always a good thing.
The caroling trolley thing from Merriest Nights at Disneyland. No one expected that.
Oh, yeah. I'm so jealous that we did not get that here. I would love to see a drive-by Muppet performance. We used to have our Muppet Mobile Lab with Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker in Epcot years ago, and I don't know if they're still in storage somewhere in Imagineering, but
I don't know. I mean, maybe we could get that great Muppet movie ride one day.
Yeah, that's. Talk to Jim Hill about that. That ain't happening anytime soon.
I know. I just want it. It sounds so cool. But you can check this show out nightly over at Epcot during the Festival of the Arts. I would anticipate that this is a limited time offering only for the festival. So if you want to see it, get out there before Festival of the Arts ends. And our last bit of news before the main attraction, Universal Orlando has released their concert lineup and other details for this year's Mardi Gras celebration. And the lineup is a doozy, I gotta say.
it is solid. You've got some definite Universal Orlando standbys, starting with Sugar Ray. But you've also got some people that wouldn't necessarily expect. I personally, I got to see Diana Ross perform there a few years ago, and she gave an amazing concert. So I'm glad to see that she is still out performing. Styx is a longtime favorite of mine. They're up on February 20th, so I will be there hoping that they play Mr. Roboto.
Oh my gosh. They've also got Marshmello, who has performed before at the festival, Seal, Gavin DeGraw, Jason Derulo, a staple for Mardi Gras. Hopefully he won't fall down any stairs.
A couple names I didn't recognize right off the bat. The Revivalists, I believe, is they might be new to Universal. I don't think they've performed there before.
Yeah, I can't say that rings any bells. And then I don't recognize Lee Bryce or John Party.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say I'm familiar with them before. But this year's this year's Mardi Gras parade also has its theme announced, and this time it will be space themed, cosmic themed.
Yeah, so every year at the Mardi Gras parade, they have a few standard floats that always return, like the giant King Gator float or the Jester float. But in between, they change out a half dozen or so of the floats each year. And this year, it's got a cosmic, well, there'll be comets, there'll be rockets, there'll be Martians. So as long as there's beads, honestly, who cares? As long as there's beads.
And then, of course, in recent years, Mardi Gras has become not just a celebration of Mardi Gras itself, but also a smorgasbord of food from around the world. Mm-hmm. And this year will be no different, with all sorts of classic Cajun food, Southeast Asian food, Indian food, literally everything you could want.
Universal last year, you know, when they couldn't do the full Mardi Gras parade, they really expanded the food festival offerings with booths all around the park. And I think they had a lot of success with that. One thing that's changed a little bit, they are having a beverage, food and beverage gift card this year, but it's not going to work the same as the tasting lanyards they had last year. Last year, you'd pay a set price for a tasting lanyard and get X number of dishes regardless of what their cost was, and if you picked right, you could save a huge amount of money. Like, you're paying about $4 per sample, and there were some things on there that were $10 or $12. Can't do that this year. This year the food and beverage card is basically just a gift card that has a set dollar amount, and you're not really going to be getting any savings for using it. It's just a matter of convenience, much like they had with the food festival cards at Epcot, which I think they've also discontinued. They used to have ones that you could wear on your wristband.
I
was a big fan of that tasting lanyard. I got my money's worth out of it. Oh. And I think they must have lost a lot of money on those, because they're not bringing them back in the same way. If you have a leftover one from last year, read the fine print. You can still use them in exchange for some snacks. I'm not sure that if they're going to honor those, because they were there for last year's event.
I think it's because of you. They were like,
"Oh, Steph." We have a comment in the chat that the gift cards do come with a discount, but I have not seen any confirmation for exactly how much that discount is. I'm sure it's not as good as the discount we were getting with the tasting lanyards on the high priced items last year.
This year's tribute store theme has also been announced, and it will be called Float Factory Warehouse.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. They've been doing an amazing job with the tribute stores that they have in the New York section of the park next to Revenge of the Mummy, which is closed still. This time sounds the most exciting, because it's going to walk you through the creative process of building one of these parade floats. You're going to see pencil sketches, you see scale models, and then you're going to end up with a full-sized Mardi Gras parade float as part of the store. I think even if you aren't into buying the merchandise or eating all of the themed treats that they have, it is definitely worth walking through the store just for entertainment value.
Yeah. And then, of course, they have offers for Florida residents who are looking to visit during the Mardi Gras celebration, which you can learn more about on Universal Orlando's website. But very excited.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting. They're offering, I think, a buy 2-day, get 2-day free kind of ticket for Florida residents this year. But I have not seen a discount on annual passes running right now. Traditionally, during Mardi Gras, they would do a buy 12 months and get 18 months on an annual pass. I haven't seen an offer like that running right now. If anyone sees that, let us know.
Yes. All right. And that is everything for News in the Queue. And before we get to this week's main attraction, let's get a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
And this week's main attraction is D23 Expo 2022. We finally have ticket on sale dates, plus some details as to what guests can expect going to this event.
This is the big event that takes place at Anaheim, the D23 event that I went to just a couple months ago in Orlando is the little event, but this is the big one. The tickets are going on sale to the general public on January 20th at noon Pacific time. But if you've got a Visa card, you can start buying on January 19th at 10 a.m. Pacific. The big catch is, big change is you have to be a member of D23 this year in order to purchase a ticket, but you don't have to pay for a membership. Having a complimentary membership, you can go to the D23 website and sign up for a free membership. That's good enough to buy tickets. But if you pay for your gold membership, you do get a small discount on tickets, $10 off a one-day ticket, and about $50 off the three-day ticket.
The three-day tickets are priced at $279 for general and $229 for gold. And then the single-day tickets are $100 for general or $89 for gold. But there's also a very expensive three-day preferred seating ticket that they're offering for Hall D23, which is where they announce all the big stuff, like the Kenobis and the Star Wars stuff and everything for $899. And those are limited quantity tickets.
Yeah, those folks are guaranteed seats right up front towards the stage. Everyone else is going to have to line up. I believe they might be using the show pass system again, like they've used in the past, which is kind of like a lightning lane. But you still, there's a lot of waiting involved. These are big events with a lot of people. So, you know, be prepared to have patience if you're going to attend D23.
Yes. Also, another thing is if you try to participate in the presale, if you're a Visa card holder, you have to pay with your Visa card.
Yeah, it's not enough to just have the Visa. You actually have to use it.
Yes. And then they will also have discounted hotel rates and Disneyland park tickets to ticket purchasers of the D23 Expo. Do you plan on going?
You know what? I don't think that I'm going to be able to make this one. But I will be tuning in because everything is going to be broadcast for free on the D23 website. Obviously, that means you won't be able to shop at the store or get the exclusive merchandise or the swag that they give out. But you will be able to probably see and hear the presentations better than some of the folks sitting in the very back of the auditorium.
Yes. But they do have some things that they will be offering, like the return of the Mousecarade, which they did virtually this past year. And one of a friend of mine was the runner up this past year.
So. Ooh. Mazel tov.
This year it will be hosted by Yvette Nicole Brown, Ashley Eckstein, Ali Maki from Toy Story 4 and Home Sweet Home Alone, and Nina West. So all right.
Well, that's an impressive panel of judges. I think the if I was going to go to the event, the thing that I would be excited to see would be Walt Disney's private plane. Those of you who remember the old days of the backlot studio tour at the former Disney MGM studios might remember driving by the, I think it was called the Mickey Mouse One. Is that? That the
yes.
Was the official name of it, which was a Gulfstream company airplane, most famously used by Walt Disney to scout out the land that later became Walt Disney World. And it was let rot backstage for many years, was dragged out of view and basically fell apart, which is very sad. But the great news is that they are restoring it. It's not going to be able to fly anymore, but they're going to transport it to Anaheim. And it will be on display as part of the archives display at the D23 Expo.
Yeah, when they said this, someone in, because I attended the virtual junket for this, someone asked if they were going to be flying it. And Jeffrey Epstein, the host, and he works at D23, laughed and was like, no. So if you're on the highway, you know, just minding your own business, driving somewhere, and you see a giant plane go by on like a big flatbed
right.
tractor trailer, you know what it is.
I wonder if they have to take the wings off in order to transport it.
I mean, kind of anecdotal, but when I was driving back to Austin from visiting my family in North Carolina, we drove by a plane that was being transported, and it was like the body of the plane and each wing had its own.
Wow. Wow.
Perhaps.
Nifty.
But this is the first time it will be restored and fully on display by the archives. And if you have been around on the Disney internet for a while, you know, she's not very pretty right now. So I'm sure it will look great on the expo floor. And
yes,
of course,
and hopefully it doesn't just disappear back into the vault next to the Ark of the Covenant, that it's given some place where people can continue to see it. And so they continue to maintain it and don't let it decay again.
Yes. And then for this year, all of the stages will include Hall D23, which is 7,000 seats. That is where the premium seating ticket holders will be. With the 3,000 seat premiere stage, the 1,200 seat backlot stage, and the expanded 700 seat Walt Disney Archive stage, which I assume is where around where that plane will be located.
Those are a lot of seats.
Yes.
That's, you know, the D23 Baby Expo I just went to was big enough for me. That was just a couple thousand people. This thing is overwhelming. So be prepared. if you go, expect a lot of people.
And this serves as the official kickoff of Disney 100, which is the centennial celebration of the Walt Disney Company. So I anticipate some things related to that. I mean, the merchandise already has Disney 100 all over it. They have this kind of chrome centennial Mickey on everything. So keep an eye out for that, I'm sure. Next year will be the big one. Or wait, they're not doing one next year because it's an off year. So very exciting. I wish I could go. I've always wanted to go to D23, but crowds.
I'm excited to experience it virtually. I'm very happy that they'll be streaming.
Yes, I have been a virtual attendee for a couple of years now, and that has always been great because the audio is great, the views are decent.
Mm-hmm.
So long as you have a good internet connection, everything works great.
Yes.
And it's like you're really there, except you don't get to stand in an eight-hour-long line for Mickey's of Glendale.
I mean, you don't get the giveaways, but to be honest, I still haven't gotten my Alexa show that Josh D'Amato promised me. So, still waiting on that, Josh.
Come on. Where's his Amazon show? Come on. But that is everything that we had to share with you this week. It's already over.
It was. I know. We really blew. Well, you know, I feel like that was quality over quantity.
I mean,
it was a tight show.
Yes.
I'm happy. And
before we go, I do have some listener thank yous to share. So in case you are not aware, Attractions has a 4-tier subscription system. And if you pick the club or VIP tiers the week after you subscribe, you get a shout out here on the podcast from us. So this week, we would like to thank Mark Crane, Sean Mead, and Dennis Daggs. Thank you so much.
Shout. I'm shouting.
For supporting the podcast and Attractions Magazine. And if you are interested, our winter issue is now available. You can head over to attractionsmagazine.com/store and either pick up a solo issue or a subscription for yourself or for someone you love.
I want to thank once again our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel, for supporting us. I also want to thank you for supporting us by heading on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from and giving us a 5-star rating. You can also leave us a review and any comments. Let us know how we're doing. And please head on over to the interwebs and follow us and all our coverage throughout the week on social media. You can find me at theunofficialguides.com. You can find me at the UG series on Twitter or at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. And Brittany, where can they find you?
You can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, but also every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, and at attractions on TikTok, which I am not on that. Theron is the king of the attractions TikTok, and he's doing great stuff over there. So check it out.
I made a cameo in one of our TikTok videos from the drop tower. So I thought TikTok would break if someone as old as I ever showed up on it, but apparently
you're a TikToker now.
Against my will.
And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we will see you next time.
Bye.